Later on in the program, Rob DeWalt will be with us speaking of the arts. Right now, I'd like to welcome Linda Siegel with today's legislative update. Welcome.
Well, good morning, Mary Charlotte.
So 2 weeks left in the 60-day legislative session. Are things accelerating? Are we working at a day and night pace?
Well, it seems like we've been working at a day and night pace since the beginning because there's been so many late hearings already, and that's only going to increase. But today, I know we have lots to talk about of really substantive legislation, but everyone should know that Hannah Scandera, who has been the secretary designate of the Public Education Department, is having a confirmation hearing in the Rules Committee.
Ah.
And so that's quite a hot topic because they've avoided confirming her for 2 years.
Why?
We'll see what happens. Because the Democrats have not liked her policies.
Right. Weren't we talking last week or the week before about online learning in a
yes.
Florida company, which it was her friends or something?
Well, I don't know if it was her friends. The virtual school from out of state that she had contracted with.
And, okay.
And there were bills in the legislature to stop us from contracting with out-of-state entities to do education services.
Oh, so that other thing is what got killed by that bill?
No, that bill is still moving, and also a bill to have a moratorium on virtual schools, because of course virtual schools mean you don't go anyplace, you do everything online. Or
I was thinking about that so much after we had that conversation, because I thought, what is schooling? And part of it is about learning to be
socialization.
Well, it's about learning to be an adult and having role models.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's talk about what's going on this week. And one of the hot topics of the legislature is retirement and pension issues for state employees and school employees.
Yes, we have a huge problem with both of our pensions. We have two pensions, the PERA, which is the state employee pension plan, and the ERB, which is public schools and colleges and universities. And both of them are in financial trouble, as are most pensions throughout the country. So the legislature has been working for several years trying to come up with solutions. And in past legislative sessions, nothing has passed. But it looks like this year, finally, because we're at the cliff, we've got some bills passing to address these pension plans. So the PERA, which is the state employees, they are currently funded at about 65%, which means if they had to pay out everything in current and future employees, they'd only have 65% of the money.
Well, hang on a second. Let's say I'm a teacher or state employee, and I pay in. I start working when I'm 28, mm-hmm. and I pay in for the next 30 years. Don't they invest it, and you get the interest and return and dividends on that investment?
Well, absolutely. The funds are invested, and of course, those funds declined at the same time over when we had the little crisis.
Yeah, those people on Wall Street. Yes.
Yes. So those funds had declined, but they're coming back up. But there's not enough money going in from either the employee contribution or from the state contribution. So those two contributions are going to be increased, and in the bill in the Senate, which looks like it's going to be the one to pass, it will bring the fund's soundness up to about 90%,
okay,
if it actually passes. And then the ERB, which is the school fund, there are about 98,000 educators and retirees in that fund. It's even bigger than PERA. And they're trying to bring that up to about 93%. And it's essential that these bills pass this session and that the governor sign them, because we've got to get on the road to making these funds solvent, or it's going to impact all of our friends and neighbors and relatives, and they're not going to be able to get their funds.
Well, I have to say, I mean, you work for decades in public service. You should be able to have the peace of retiring.
Absolutely.
All right.
But it means people, the actual employees, are going to have to start paying more in, which
right.
is going to mean that people's salaries, which haven't been increased now in 4 years, if you're a state employee or a public school or university college employee, you're going to be making less money.
Oh, dear. All right. Well, there's a no-win situation for you.
Yeah.
That's not true. Anyway, let's go on to there are some preemption bills, and I think those are very important to talk about, even to define what that means.
Yes. Preemption means that right now, if you're a home rule city or county, you can pass laws that are more restrictive than the state law.
Right.
And what preemption laws do is they say, okay, this is it. This, you can't pass anything stricter than the state. And there are two important preemption bills in the legislature. One of them is a bill to preempt certain dog breeding limitations or
so
dog breeds.
Right. So the preemption bill would say you are not allowed to pass a bill, and no community in New Mexico is allowed to pass a bill saying all pit bulls are hereby illegal.
Absolutely.
Which is what it would boil down to.
Right. And evidently there are some communities in our state that have passed those kinds of local ordinances. And so a legislator from Alamogordo has actually successfully gotten a bill through the House of Representatives and is now over in the Senate saying nobody can pass breed-specific dog bills.
Very interesting.
But the one that really will interest people in Santa Fe is the oil and gas preemption bill. Because, of course, remember, our county commission several years ago passed a very restrictive oil and gas ordinance that says we can't stop people from drilling oil for oil and gas because people own the mineral rights. Those of us who own the surface, we don't usually own the mineral. So it means that someone could come in and start drilling in your backyard. And the county of Santa Fe stopped that and said, okay, if you're going to do that, you've got all these restrictions and requirements that you're going to have to meet before you can do that. Well, if this bill were to pass, and it's carried by Carlos Cisneros from Taos, then ordinances like ours would no longer be legal.
So basically, this is one of those things saying anybody can drill wherever they want and no county or municipality can say anything about it.
That's correct.
As long as they own the mineral rights.
Yep.
Maybe they should have a preemptive bill against preemptive bills.
Well, I don't think it's going anywhere because it hasn't had its first committee hearing yet. And, of course, we only have 14 days left. So hopefully it's dead.
And it's one of those things where so many people, I mean, we talked about the documentary Rooted Lands on Monday of this past week, which is a documentary about Mora County and all the organizing they did this year, well, in the past few years, and the devastation that some of these gas wells are having gas fields are having on other communities in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those things where I would imagine the vast majority of regular people on the ground would have something to say about it.
Right. Who of us wants an oil well right, you know, we have 8 acres. Do we want an oil well right next to our house? No.
Okay, so that's another one. Transparency legislation. What's that?
Well, a few years ago, a bill creating the Sunshine Portal, we talked about it on the show several times, that it was created. And the Sunshine Portal is a place you can go. If you just Google New Mexico Sunshine Portal, you'll come onto this website where you can see what the state budget is, what department budgets are. And the idea was also to put a lot of information about employees, which the unions didn't agree with, putting the employee names and how much money they make. But letting the public know, okay, here's where your tax dollars are going. And so there have been a couple bills to increase that transparency. And one of the things that the union said was, well, why are you putting employees' names and salaries up and you're not putting the contractors that are getting these huge contractors?
So that's an interesting point.
Yeah, they all have to be on it. And if this one of these bills pass, their political contributions and who they go to will have to be placed on the website.
Really?
So that we can see, okay, contractors are giving X thousands of dollars to this legislator or the governor or whatever, and ooh, look, they have $1 million
contract.
They made
a road, yeah.
And then another one would require them putting on all the sole source procurements, because you can do contracts with people on sole source if they're under 50,000, and it's a way to get around having to go out for an RFP. So putting, if these two bills pass, it's going to make our sunshine portal even more sunshiny.
All right. Now, equal pay for girls.
Isn't that a strange one? It's, of course, equal pay for equal work, prevents discrimination, wage discrimination based on sex or gender. I kind of thought we already had that in the federal constitution, but...
Equal pay for ladies.
Yes.
She wrote girls on the email. That's sort of cute.
Yeah, I was just being cute. But that, it's amazing that anyone would vote against that bill, but some of our women in the legislature have even been voting against that. But I believe that bill has passed out of the House and is on to the Senate. So if you are doing work that is comparable, requiring equal skills, in similar working conditions, voila, you should get the same amount of money.
Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, talk about no-brainers. All right, coyotes.
Yes, I think we talked about this early on. There was a bill that a Representative Cote from Las Cruces area put in to ban these coyote hunts.
Oh, God. And it didn't pass. I'm heartbroken.
It didn't pass, and it was a very long debate on the House floor, and it eventually failed 38-30.
Oh,
and all what it did was it created a misdemeanor if you were trying to organize coyote hunts. But there are a lot of rural legislators think that we should do that sort of thing, or that we shouldn't criminalize those kinds of activities. So that failed. And this is the cockfighting bill. This is these bills on animals that we often have in the legislature, and it becomes an urban-rural battle oftentimes.
Right. And year after year after year,
yes,
these things come up, and it'll come up again next
year.
Oh, yes. And eventually, it'll probably pass.
Yes, just like cockfighting passed. Yeah, probably.
Okay, liquor tax.
Yeah, now this is a very interesting one, because over 20 years ago, the legislature passed a bill to allow one county in New Mexico, McKinley County, to do a local option liquor tax. And the reason McKinley County wanted to do it because was they had such high alcohol problems, and they wanted some money that could go into the community's coffers to do alcohol treatment and to try to help people. So every year somebody comes to the legislature, some other county comes to the legislature and says, we would like to have local option liquor taxes. And every year it fails because the alcohol lobbyists come in and kill it. Because what they were looking for in this local option tax was to put 4 cents on every bottle of beer so that it could go to counties to help pay for alcohol treatment programs.
Right.
But it's stopped every time in the legislature, and this year, once again, it also has stopped.
Let's talk about nursing bills.
Yes, now there's a really interesting bill that 1199, the union at St. Vincent's, has been working on, which passed out of its first committee this week. And it's a bill, it's called a staffing bill, but it's not a ratio bill. It's a bill that, at its core, creates a committee in the hospital that would require that the staff nurses comprise the majority of members on that committee, and that they be able to set some standards for staffing levels so that that nurses are able to adequately take care of their patients. And of course, it's controversial. The Hospital Association doesn't support it. Obviously, St. Vincent's doesn't support it. But it's an effort to
Why wouldn't St. Vincent's support it? Pretty soon, 1 or 10 or 100 of their patients are going to die because of inadequate staffing, and they're going to be sued.
Well, I mean, there are lawsuits all the time at hospitals for various reasons. And the the level of care is obviously very important, and it depends on the acuity of patients. If you have two or three patients that are really, really sick, then you may need one-on-one nursing. And then you have patients where you can have one nurse to every six patients. And so it varies, and the idea of the staffing committee is that they would be flexible and set up the criteria and all to determine those staffing levels.
Now, you are also working on an ultrasound bill.
Yes, I've worked with the Nurses Association and other groups for several years to address this problem that occurred in 2009 when a bill was passed to license ultrasonographers, which was a really good idea and which nurses supported. But then we found out that really the ultrasonographers wanted to stop nurses from doing what they'd been doing for years, which was using ultrasound at the bedside to do bladder scans and put in PICC lines, that they wanted them to get the training that ultrasonographers get, when really nurses doing that kind of ultrasound don't need to go to school for 2 years and learn ultrasonography. They get their training mostly in the hospital. So we've been trying to fix that bill and have another piece of legislation this year to try to make it clear that nurses can use ultrasound at the bedside, but that they're not doing those big diagnostic ultrasounds, which you do need to get extended training for.
Very interesting, and that's yet another example, and we've talked about this, of the kind of thing that legislators can't know about because they're not on the ground doing that work.
Yeah, it's, you know, we've got 112 legislators. Two of them are healthcare providers. One is a doctor and one is a physical therapist. And yet they have to decide all these healthcare scope of practice bills and address all these issues. But then they have to address insurance issues and transportation issues. I mean, we ask a lot of these 112 legislators who have to know something about so many different things.
Not only about all the different things that the bills are concerned with, but then about the politics itself and the whole process of getting stuff done, which is its own, like, little sub-universe.
Absolutely. And remember, of course, we have 33 new members out of that 112 who aren't really used to all the topics and certainly not used to the politics.
Right. And so when people talk about term limits, and I can see the point, it's like, so you want new people every 2 years to start learning this stuff all over again?
Yeah. There are, you know, sometimes I think term limits are a good idea, you know, when you get up to where you've been in 30 or 40 years. But then also you've got all that wisdom and knowledge and history. Which
certainly
is
knowledge
very
and
important.
History.
Yeah. Maybe not wisdom. Okay.
So look, one more thing I want to make sure we talked about, namely driver's licenses.
Yes. Well, coming up on Tuesday, the last two driver's license bills are going to be heard in the Senate Public Affairs Committee. And I believe one of them is what Somos considers the better driver's license bill, and one of them is not such a good bill, and we'll see what happens. All the other bills have been tabled in various committees, and this will determine, this Tuesday meeting will determine if one's going to go forward. Although, remember, we're in the 14th day, and there's not a lot of time to get anything through.
Right, because that would have to go through three committees and then go over to the other chamber.
Well, two committees in the Senate and then go over to the House.
And have some more committees there.
Right. And it's probably not, it's probably done for this session. Let's just
once
put
again
that to bed.
And I did get an email from Marcella, who said that the meeting is at 2:30 in room 321 if people want to go and weigh in. And you can also go to saferoadsnm.com and find out more information.
Yes.
Okay. Well, gosh, we've covered a lot of ground today.
Yes, there were lots of interesting things that happened this last week.
And so next week is our penultimate legislative update, and then the last day of the session, you and I will be together.
That's the 16th.
The 16th, right? Wrapping it up, or the 15th, I think, two weeks from today.
And then maybe we'll want to do a big wrap-up later to cover all the things the governor signed or didn't sign.
Exactly.
And everything that passed.
And I think because the blender is going, we should just wrap this all right up.
All right, Mary Charlotte. Thank you.
Linda Siegel is with us with every Friday during the legislative session with the legislative update. Thank you so much for being with us. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with Rob DeWalt. Please stay tuned. And I'd like now to welcome Rob DeWalt, and the blender abides. He is with the Pase Tiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico. He's with us here many Fridays speaking of the arts. Welcome.
Thank you.
So you know what's interesting? I said last week at the end of the show, I said, ladies and gentlemen, what do you think about all this background noise in the Santa Fe Baking Company? Please write now to radiocafe@ksfr.org. You know what the response was?
What?
It was unanimous. We like the background noise.
We like the background noise.
Yep.
We do? Even the blenders?
Well, some people were saying the blender was maybe a bit much. But, see, now that's gratuitous blending right there.
Right. He's just doing it to needle you.
I don't think so.
It's like Blender Drink Friday over here at the baking company.
I know. I can't even imagine. I hope they get the new one by summer, because I've been doing this for 9 years, and the old blender was fine. I mean, it wasn't great, but it was fine. Anyway, so if you would like to weigh in on the topic of blenders and background noise, again, please write me an email at radiocafe@ksfr.org. Over the years, I've had people saying, can't you move to a different location? Can't you do this? Can't you do that? But then I actually solicit, and everybody likes it. So feel free to voice any opinion whatsoever. Okay, what's going on this weekend?
What's going on this weekend?
Dogs.
Let's do the animals of the week first.
Yay.
Since I can brag now that Benjamin Swan actually hooked me up with the dog of the week.
He did?
He actually hooked me up with two, but I'm going to talk about one today because I like the name Buddy.
Buddy.
Buddy. Buddy is a neutered male black smoke and white lab and Australian Kelpie mix.
I bet it's cute.
Now, it doesn't have an age, but it says he's a young dog. He looks to be about 45 or 50 pounds. He's active. He's learning how to sit. He's good at walking in a harness. And there's a picture of him. And he is just the cutest thing ever. Look at that.
That is a very,
he looks
very
like
cute
Batman.
Dog.
He Look does. At those ears.
He looks like the old Adam West Batman.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of calm and handsome and square-jawed.
Yeah. And he's up for adoption at the Santa Fe Humane Society and Animal Shelter. And if you do have other dogs, please bring them if you want to meet Buddy, so
Yay.
That your dogs can meet Buddy too.
Right, because that's what they do. It's sort of a matchmaking thing. You bring your pup along, and if the pups don't eat each other, then you can take the one for adoption home.
Yes. So just ask for Buddy.
Buddy. Buddy's cute. And Felines and Friends sends us every week a cat of the week. They're a local cat rescue and placement organization. And this week's featured cat is Dana. Dana was rescued from a mobile home park in Santa Fe, and she's very sweet and playful. And she has a beautiful black and white coat with unique markings on her face. And she was born in August of 2009. And if you are interested in adopting Dana, call 505-316-2281 or email askfelinesandfriends@yahoo.com, or you can see the kitty and any of the other cats up for adoption at fnfnm.org, or you can just Google felinesandfriendsnewmexico.org.
Yes.
Yes.
Wynton Marsalis is coming.
Awesome.
Yes. Jazz at Lincoln Center, saxophonist. Wynton Marsalis and the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra are going to be at the Lensing at 7:30 p.m. Wednesday, March 6th. If this is not sold out,
I would be
very surprised.
No, I heard it was so very sold out.
But do they have scalpers at the Lensing?
Well, every once in a while, there'll be somebody up front saying, I got an extra ticket.
Yeah.
I don't know if you call them scalpers.
Right.
This is Santa Fe.
This is Santa Fe. They're a different breed of scalper.
they're a Kelpie mix.
They're scalpur.
Now, Thursday, March 7th, there is an event that came from the Rail Yard Stewards called Immigrants and the Railroad. Lois Rudnick, who is a professor emeritus of American Studies, and Marcela Diaz of Somos un Pueblo Unido will be speaking at the Rail Yard Park Community Room on Thursday, the 7th of March at 5:30. For more information, you can go to railyardpark.org or call 316-3598.
Sweet.
No, sorry. 316-3596.
3596.
Because I know everybody's got their pencils out and is furiously writing down everything we say.
Because Google might be broken.
Immigrants and the Railroad. That's a very interesting one.
Yes. Hey, have you ever heard of the Surf Lords?
Is that like 60s surf guitar?
Yes.
I love that
it's
kind
totally.
Of music.
But it's like Latin and Caribbean influenced surf music from Albuquerque.
I'll be there.
And these guys, they have, it's like a, I think it's like a 3-person band, but they have go-go girls too.
Nice. Do they have white go-go boots?
Which doesn't do anything for you and I, really, but they'll be there at the Cowgirl.
How do you know?
I don't know. 8:30 p.m. on Saturday, March 2nd. That would be tomorrow.
Yay.
At the Cowgirl. And these guys are great.
I wanted to be a go-go girl.
You wanted to be a go-go girl?
Yeah, but it never happened.
I used to have, cherry red go-go boots.
Nice.
I wore them once for Halloween when I was working at a corporate big box health food store in Santa Fe. And cooked in them for 8 hours, actually.
Those are good boots.
Yeah. Yes, very sturdy.
All right.
And fishnet stockings. It was quite the experience.
Yeah, fishnet stockings are beautiful.
Yeah.
Unless you have hairy legs, in which case they're not at all beautiful.
They're not at all beautiful. Unless you wear, leggings. Well, we could go on.
We could. Tomorrow at 8:30 a.m., get to know Wagner's Parsifal before the Lenzik Theater's live HD simulcast from the Met in New York City, which, as we heard from Desiree Mays, is going to be 6 hours long, including intermissions, to the point where there's no evening showing. Because you would be there until 2 in the morning, and we all know that that's very bad. Tom Franks will guide the attendees through the opera's plot by analysis and interpretation of Wagner's masterpiece, and Tom Franks is a very knowledgeable scholar and gentleman who knows a great deal about opera.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard about this Shylock piece? It's going to be at the Lenzik.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about that.
Guy Masterson plays... Well, he doesn't play Shylock, which is a Shakespeare character. He plays Tubal, which is another Shakespeare character. The only two Jewish characters, I believe, to appear in all of Shakespeare's works.
Really?
And so Guy Masterson, who is, I mean, he's a master. He's amazing, if you've ever seen him.
A masterful guy? Masterson?
He's a masterful guy on stage. And anyway, so this great piece sort of explores the Jewish characters in Shakespeare, but... It also explores Jewish actors in theater, really, in general, throughout time. And it's a really interesting piece, darkly humorous, for
all
sure.
Right.
And that's at 7 p.m. Sunday, March 3rd, at the Lenzik. Tickets are at ticketsantafe.org, 988-1234. That's going to be a good show.
Excellent.
Yes.
And on Sunday, March 3rd, at 11 in the morning, hey, it's March. Happy March.
Oh, that's right. I forgot to say rabbit this morning.
Yeah, rabbit. Food Justice for Thought with Ethan Gnauer. Ethan Gnauer will facilitate a conversation with other food justice speakers, and the dialogue is a chance to learn about efforts to support school gardens, expand community farms, and protect New Mexico farmers from the threat of genetically engineered crops, and establish a GMO food labeling policy in New Mexico, which unfortunately failed in the legislature this year, and safeguard traditional New Mexico chili from GMO contamination and much, much more. And I believe that is sponsored by Journey Santa Fe, and that is Sunday at 11 at the Collected Works bookstore.
Gneet. There's some openings I want to talk about today.
All right.
We've got Black Box Theater, Warehouse 21. Molly Bradbury is Clang. Sound and Light is the name of the piece. It's a continuous loop of 24 short videos by Bradbury. And they're screening from 4 to 9 p.m. tonight at Warehouse 21. And that's up through March 16th. And then we also have, the Alcove Show, Alcove 12.9 at the New Mexico Museum of Art.
They are so great.
Yes.
I like those Alcove shows a lot. There's some awesome things in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to stroll through once a month to see all that new work.
Exactly. It's the nook and cranny of the Santa Fe art world.
Yep.
And anyway, there's a reception tonight from 5 to 8 p.m. at the museum. And that's up through April 8th. So you have time if receptions aren't your bag, man.
Your bag man.
If you aren't your... What else have we got? We've got Manitou Galleries has a landscape group show. And that is, let's see, there's a reception there at Manitou over there on Palace Avenue tonight from 5 to 7:30 p.m. That's up through March 15th. There's tons of openings tonight. Well, not tons. Let's say about 10 or 11.
Can you weigh openings in weight?
Yes.
Okay.
You can. They're, yes.
You add up the actual poundage of all the curators and organizers?
Yes. You gather the creative ether and you put it in a bag.
Uh-huh. And you put that on the scale.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But you got to weigh the bag first. Otherwise, your calculations are totally off.
Right.
Yeah.
It has to be organic.
Yeah.
Thursday, March 7th at 6 o'clock at Collected Works Bookstore. In the spring of 2000, Mike Medbury, a longtime advocate of conservation with American Lands, the Wilderness Society, and many others, suffered a stroke in the remote wilderness of the craters of the moon in Idaho. He was rescued after spending hours in the wilderness and contemplating death in one of the harshest yet most beautiful landscapes in the country. He wrote a book called On the Dark Side of the Moon, A Journey Toward Recovery. And it sort of weaves his own struggle to learn, relearn, to speak and write and walk and all of that. And apparently it's a beautiful story of renewal and restoration. Once again, that's Thursday at 6 o'clock at March 7th at Collected Works Bookstore. And, of course, don't forget Children's Story Time every Wednesday and Thursday at 10:45 in the morning.
Neat. We've got some theater closings and openings this weekend also. This is the final weekend for Benchwarmers 12.
Yay!
Over there at the Santa Fe Playhouse. So there's a performance tonight at 7:30. And I believe there's also one on Saturday at 7:30. And I think there's one on Sunday, but let me just check.
All
let
right.
Let me just make sure. Yes, there's a 2 p.m. matinee on Sunday. And then we have the opening of Cold Water.
Yes, I can't wait to see that. We did an interview a couple. Was it yesterday or
yes,
the day before?
Yes, I think it was yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday. Yeah. And and that looks to be very good. That is a documentary theater piece about Agua Fria, cold water, Agua Fria Village, water rights, and neighborhood battles, and all that kind of stuff. Basically, centering around water in this desert environment.
Yes, and that opens tonight at the Greer Garson Theater on the campus of
the Santa Fe University of Art and Design.
Nice. SFUAD, we
SFUAD.
Call it.
Yes.
SFUAD. Oh, you know, this is great. This one sort of came up late, but I had a chance to write about it in my column today. A great band that's still alive and kicking, Faster Pussycat, which obviously gets its name from the film Faster Pussycat Kill Kill. Anyway, like, kings of, like, sort of the Hollywood sort of glam and sleaze rock back in the late 80s and early 90s. And they are doing a one-off show. They were going to have a show in Albuquerque. That one is a no-go. So their only show in this area is going to be in Santa Fe at the Underground on Tuesday, March 5th at 9 p.m.
Awesome.
The Underground is inside of Angelo's. This one is going to be packed. You can get tickets in advance at the venue, or you can get them the night of the show, but they're going to be more expensive the night of the show.
All right.
Obviously.
Now
go
this
and check that out.
Yeah, totally. This Monday, March 4th at 6 o'clock, the Santa Fe Public School Collaborative Choir Concert is happening at the Lenzic, and there's a picture, and they look so beautiful in their little different colored clothing. It's 190 students, grades 6 through 12. 8 Santa Fe Public Schools are represented. The concert is free. There's a suggested donation, and guest speaker Stephen Carrillo, who's a member of the Board of Education, will be there. And please come support music programs in the Santa Fe Public Schools.
Yeah.
And thanks to the Lenzic. I love that the Lenzic does public school stuff.
Yes, I do too. Oh, here's another student. One, Academy for Technology and the Classics Winter Concert and Art Show. Stop me if you've heard this one before. Art show at 6 p.m. Saturday, March 2nd, and concert from 7 to 9 p.m. that same night with performances by the school's Acoustic Americana Ensemble and 3 marimba ensembles. So there's something for you to do on Saturday night over there at the Art Center.
Excellent.
See, I call it the Teen and Young Adult Art Center because they're, you know, I mean, if you're 18, you're still a teen, but you're a young adult at that point.
Yeah, you can vote but not drink.
Right. Yeah.
All right. So, what's happening at Vanessi? Well, tonight, from 7:30 until closing, the Attitudes Americana Blues. And then tomorrow, Saturday, Bob Finney, Contemporary Piano and Vocal Classics, Elton John, Billy Joel, Steely Dan, things like that, from 6:30 until closing. And then Sunday, David Geist and Open Mic and Broadway Classics. That's from 5 to 7. And then at 7 o'clock, Bob Finney once again. And that's all at Vanessi here in Santa Fe on West Water Street.
Sweet.
Yep.
Student Filmmakers Summit. This should be fun. Open forum at 9:30 a.m. From 9:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. on Saturday. Student presentations at 2:30 p.m. Room 563 in the Fine Arts Building at the Santa Fe Community College. That is Saturday, March 2. That would be tomorrow.
Excellent.
The 18th annual Santa Fe Pen Fair is Saturday also.
Stop the presses.
I'm a total like pen geek.
I love pens, actually.
Yeah. And there's a pen fair. There's also going to be some handwriting workshops. So, you know, if you have really bad handwriting, which I don't know if I do or not, but I know a lot of people that do.
I just heard they stopped teaching cursive in the schools, in the public schools.
Is that nationwide, or is that just like one of those
know.
Things that's being slowly sort of...
If you know, please write to me at radiocafe@ksfr.org, and we'll talk about it
in
next
cursive.
Week.
You yeah. have to write it.
Write me an email in cursive.
I think you can do that. Anyway, the 18th annual Santa Fe Pen Fair is from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and in the San Busco Center. And, there's handwriting seminars. There's going to be pens for sale for anywhere from $10 to $10,000. So, you know, if you got an extra 10 grand laying around, you want a sweet pen.
I got a fountain pen for my birthday a couple of years ago.
Do you use it?
You know, I'm afraid to lose it, so I only use it in the house.
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah. That's good. I mean, can you imagine trying to lug around the ink in your purse?
And I always get ink on my hands, no matter what I do.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm not a very good fountain pen user.
Not yet. Practice.
Classic rock show tonight at El Farol from 9 p.m. until closing with Don Curry, Pete Springer, and Ron Crowder. On vocals, keyboards, guitar, drum, all kinds of good things. And classic rock at El Farol.
Oh, you are, let's see. Okay. Sorry, I'm getting confused. Practice your navigation skills on a two-mile hike with guide Karen Dennison at 10 p.m. on Saturday at Cerritos Hills State Park. This is an outdoor activity.
Nice.
Yeah. We're trying to cover more of these things, so if there are outdoor activities... Please send them to us at pasa@sfnewmexican.com.
To offset the unwholesomeness at your night at the Cowgirl beforehand.
Yeah.
With the surf guitar, etc.
Go-go dancing.
Yeah, you know, the picture that they sent with that email about classic rock at El Farol tonight, there were two girls, or maybe one girl in a mirror with go-go boots.
Ah. Same. Speaking of classic rock, I forgot to mention that local... Kiss tribute band Love Gun is one of the bands that's going to be opening for Faster Pussycat.
Awesome!
They will be donning the Kiss makeup and stretchy pants. And
Peter Williams, man.
Yeah, baby.
They are so good.
Mikey Baker and Andrew Prim, and yep. I believe... I can't believe I forgot.
Et cetera,
yes. But all very talented musicians.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, today, there is a drawing... I believe it is today, so you should run over to Collected Works Bookstore because there is you can enter a raffle to win a one-day wild horse workshop, which is a $250 value. The workshop is in Placitas, New Mexico, and it's an educational adventure for photographers, horse, and nature lovers. So raffle tickets at Collected Works, and the raffle benefits the Cimarron Sky Dog Horse Reserve, and that is a wonderful place where they actually rescue wild horses and allow them to live out their lives on a piece of land. So it's an excellent opportunity to observe and photograph these horses, which we don't get to see horses in the wild very often.
No.
So head on down to Collected Works.
You have a better chance of seeing a horse. Well, let's not go there.
Okay. I don't know where you were going, but let's not go there.
You have a better chance of seeing a horse at IKEA than you do in the wild. Poetry Out Loud National Recitation Contest. All right. We've got New Mexico high school students are competing in the state finals at 1 p.m. Sunday, March 3rd at St. Francis Auditorium at the New Mexico Museum of Art. This is a no-charge event, and you can call 827-6492 for more info. Always go out and... you know, support the young poets.
Absolutely. Stations of the Cross is an exhibit opening tomorrow And it's happening all day long. So I guess it's not really an official opening with wine and cheese, but it is opening. And it's at the Spanish Colonial Arts Museum on Museum Hill, and some very beautiful work up there. And then the Girl Scout Cookie Caper.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, is happening this Thursday, the 7th of March, from 6 to 8 at the Inn and Spa at Loretto. For more information, nmgirlscouts.org or 505-923-2513. What's that all about?
Well, you know, my invitation to judge this year must have gotten lost in the mail. Hint, hint, Girl Scouts. But it's great. It doesn't have to be necessarily from Santa Fe. Chefs get together and they create desserts. And I suppose you could do a savory dish, but it's usually desserts. Using Girl Scout cookies as an ingredient. And so some people will, create a mousse and, or a cheesecake and use, Thin Mints or something as the...
Oh, right. So it's basically... Oh, that's right. It's a cook-off or bake-off using Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah.
And so they have Girl Scout cookie pate.
Yes, they do things like that. And then I think there's... they have different categories. It's like the more cookies that you can cram into a single recipe, the better, as long as it's not awful.
Right.
But I've seen some really inventive stuff done with sugar, hard sugar. And some of them are you take a bite and if you're judging something like this, after a while it just kills you.
Yeah, you have to be very careful.
Yeah.
About your sugar high.
But it's great. It raises money for the Girl Scouts of America. My goddaughter is a Girl Scout. I am her, she's my cookie connection. So.
Excellent. Tomorrow night at 7:30 at Gig, guitarist Randall Bays will be playing, and that's at 7 in the evening. He's been playing, Irish fiddle and traditional styles of Galway. Well, it has a guy playing a guitar, but they're saying fiddle. So I don't know, but check it out at Gig tonight. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And then Wednesday, March 6th, there's a Gig special event called Tin Hat, and it's a violin, guitar, dobro, clarinet, accordion, piano group, and apparently, as they say, it forges a new acoustic sound that defies categorization while striking universal chords, and they're called Tin Hat, but I don't see them wearing tin hats.
Randall Bays is actually an amazing guitarist.
Oh, okay.
Amazing fiddler, too, but he picked up the guitar. I think he actually started on like a wind instrument and then went to fiddle and then guitar. But he has an amazing finger style. And you can see little snippets of him playing online. He's pretty good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we get to... there's a lot of amazing music as just today's show proves coming into Santa Fe.
Absolutely. What else is going on?
I'll tell you one more thing.
Okay.
The Barkin Attic grand opening is tomorrow. The Espanola Valley Humane Society announced the grand opening of Barkin Attic, a resale store that is located at 851 St. Michael's Drive in the Candyman Center. And from 10 to 6 tomorrow, the celebration will include refreshments and a 10% discount all day. And at 2 o'clock, Mito de Soto will perform a blend of jazz and flamenco music. Oh, I hear a noise that is telling me that I forgot to do the ticket giveaway.
That's right.
Mary Lynn LeBlanc, what's our ticket giveaway?
Hi,
well,
Mary.
Well, tomorrow night at 7:50. Hi there, tomorrow night at 7:15 at CCA, you, Mary Charlotte.
Yes,
will
I.
Be they're interviewing Juan Gonzalez of Democracy Now on the film that documents his book, The Harvest Empire?
The Harvest of Empire. That is a film with Juan Gonzalez, made by Juan Gonzalez and others, and they're screening it at the CCA tomorrow at 7:15. I will be doing the introductions and then the Q&A at the end, and the film will be screened, and we've got a pair of tickets to give away, which you can get by calling 428-1382, and the lovely Mary Lynn LeBlanc, with Lord knows who in the background, will be answering the telephones, and you can win a pair. And even if you don't win the one pair of tickets, definitely go, because that should be a terrific event tomorrow night.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Speaking of film, Harvest of Empires is awesome. But A Place at the Table, have you seen this?
No.
Oh, my gosh. It is heart-wrenching. It's a documentary film made by Christy Jacobson and Laurie Silverbush. And it examines hunger in America. But it does it in such an in-your-face way. I mean, it's so amazing. You know, like everyone has this, not everyone, but a lot of people have this idea of what hunger looks like. And you watch this film and you realize that it looks like everything. I mean, you know, there's no racial barriers. There's you know, it's no geographical barriers. It's
well, all you have to do is open your eyes and look around Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Yes.
A wealthy town by all accounts. And mm-hmm. we've got problems here, serious problems.
Yes. And this is playing at the CCA. And it's rated PG, but you know, it's one of those things where it's worth taking the kids to, I think.
Today is Renewable Energy Day. Renewable Energy Industries Association, the North American Wind Energy and Research Center, and many others will be today at the Roundhouse at the Santa Fe State Capitol Building. It's from 9 to 5. It's all day. And there's a press conference at 1 o'clock in the Rotunda featuring Valerie Espinosa, representatives from the White Sands Missile Range and Firehouse in Santa Fe, and local youth advocates and legislators. And I know that in the Firehouse in Santa Fe, they put up solar panels. So they're having a green, solar-friendly firehouse here. So a lot of interesting stuff going on. And for more information, 505-829-1696.
Sweet. What about Precious Life that's also opening at the CCA? You know anything about this?
No, tell us.
It is a documentary film. It starts off about this Israeli hospital's attempt to save the life of a Palestinian baby born with
immune
system. And then it just sort of turns into this documentary about a woman's suicide bomber. It's so engaging, and it got a really great review by Jonathan Richards today in Pasta Tiempo on page 44, by the way.
Excellent.
And that's opening at CCA. And awesome. Then the screen is showing Neighboring Sounds, which is an unrated drama in Portuguese with subtitles. And I don't know much about that film, but it was given 2.5 chilies by Jennifer Levin, which is above average.
All right.
So lots of great films to see, too.
Lots of great films to see, and you know what? We just finished just in time.
We did?
Yeah.
I don't hear any music.
I know, but it's because we're 10 seconds away from hearing music.
Oh.
But anyway, we have been speaking of the arts with Rob DeWalt, who is with the Pasa Tiempo, which is the terrific Friday arts magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. He is with us every Friday, or many Fridays, speaking of the arts. Actually, Diane Karp will be back next week.
Yay.
She is traveling this week.
Hi, Diane.
And it is wonderful, as always, to have you.
Wonderful to be here.
Yay. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, pick up the Santa Fe New Mexican. And if you don't already get it delivered to your home or pick it up every day anyway, definitely pick it up on Fridays, because that's when you get to read the Pasa, which is a terrific magazine.
Well, thank you.
No small part because of your contribution, Rob DeWalt. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We are streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafemc, and my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's fabulous, truly fabulous, award-winning news team. And after that, Jazz Etc. with Helga Ancona. Hey, everybody, have a terrific weekend.
Yes.
And look, we've got a whole minute to listen to the music. So
listen
to the
I should mention that, and I don't have any of the information in front of me, but this weekend is also the Fiery Foods and Barbecue Show in Albuquerque.
Oh.
So if you want a little pepper belly.
Good and good for you.
Head on down to Albuquerque, and it's a gigantic show. They're expecting 17,000 people to walk through the doors this year.
Excellent.
And it's basically, I think it's one of the world's largest of its kind, if not the largest.
This would be the place to have it.
Yes.
Because we've got a lot of different kinds of spice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, have a great weekend, and Hasta la vista, baby.
Hasta la vista.
Ciao.